We read together tonight Psalm 61. Psalm 61. This is the Word of God in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vow. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. I call your attention tonight to verse 2 of Psalm 61, where God says to us, from the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Call your attention to Psalm 61 under the theme tonight, Lead Me to the Rock. And the following three points make up the text, make up the sermon tonight. The first is the distress that David was under at the time of this psalm. The second is the prayer that he offers in light of that distress. And then the third point we consider at the end is the deliverance that David experienced. Lead me to the rock, the distress, the prayer, and the deliverance. It is clear when you read Psalm 61 that David, who was the human writer of this psalm and whose experiences shape the words of the psalm, was under a significant amount of distress at the time of its writing. That's indicated in the text itself by the words of the prayer that are very well known to us, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. But the beginning of the text especially teaches us concerning the distress that David was under at this time. The beginning of the text reads, from the end of the earth I will cry unto Thee. That fact that he cries from the end of the earth teaches us about the distress and that very strong middle of the text, when my heart is overwhelmed. David was going through a time of great difficulty as he said the words of this prayer, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whenever we consider one of the Psalms, it's good for us if we are able to determine when it was that the human writer of the psalm wrote the psalm, or what were the circumstances that stand behind the content of the psalm. We know this was a psalm of David, and although we are not always able with absolute precision to determine the historical context, it was likely the case that David wrote this psalm at the time when he was being afflicted by his own son Absalom, who was attempting to usurp the throne. And that's evident from a couple of things. Number one is the fact that he says at the beginning of the text that he cries from a faraway land. The end of the earth is where he is when he cries unto God. And it's evident from the later verse in which he talks about the prolonging of the king's days. Ultimately, that's prophetic of Christ and God's work to establish forever the kingdom of Christ, but there was a literal fulfillment for David, who at that time was the established king. And therefore, God at that time prolonged his days. Likely not at the beginning when he had these same experiences with Saul, but rather later when Absalom attempted to usurp the throne. The distress that David experiences is, as I said, summarized in those opening two phrases. The first part of it is the fact that he cries from the end of the earth. When he says that he from the end of the earth cries unto God, what that means is that David is outside of the promised land of Canaan. We have to remember that we're dealing here with the Old Testament type. And in the Old Testament, the type was that the land of Canaan was where God was. And therefore, anywhere outside of the land of Canaan, figuratively, was where God was not and His people were not. So that it didn't matter if David was on the other side of the world or if he was 15 miles outside of Israel. For all intents and purposes, it was from the ends of the earth that he would have cried unto Him. He wasn't in the promised land where God dwelled, especially in Jerusalem, even more particularly in the tabernacle, and even more focused where the ark was, which pictured the very presence of God. He was outside of the promised land of Canaan. And that's why it may have been at the time when he was fleeing from Absalom, recorded in 2 Samuel 17, where we read specifically that David had to cross over the Jordan River and was in Mahanaim. And even though that was part of the 2.5 tribes' inheritance, really strictly speaking, that was never the promised land of Canaan. Moses was in that same area, but Moses never, we read, entered the promised land, which was on the west of the Jordan River. He was outside of Jerusalem and where the tabernacle of God was. He, as he says, from the ends of the earth cries unto God. But really, especially what indicates the distress that David was experiencing as he was likely being hunted by Absalom's armies is indicated by that phrase in the middle of the text, when my heart is overwhelmed. David's heart was overwhelmed. And that's a good way to think about what was happening to his heart. We know what our heart is. It's the center of who we are spiritually. It's who a man is. It's his heart. His heart was overwhelmed means that his heart was faint or his heart was feeble. But really, to get the idea of this word overwhelmed, you can go to the most basic meaning of the verb that this comes from, which means to surround or to cover. It's the word from which in the Old Testament you get the word cloak. And the idea is that a cloak is something that you put on you and it surrounds you and it covers you in every respect. That's what was taking place with the heart of David at this time. So intense was what he was going through that it was absolutely surrounding completely his heart. And we understand that. There are certain things that we experience that are difficult, that are here for a moment, but then very quickly we can get off of it. And it may come back again, but it's there, but not always there. But there are other times when we go through things in our life that it is always right there. And it is, as it were, surrounding our hearts, and we cannot escape it. So that in that point of view, our heart is overwhelmed by what we are experiencing. That was David's heart as he was on the run and being hunted by Absalom's armies who attempted to usurp the throne. And we understand, therefore, on the surface, why he had the distress that he had, why his heart was overwhelmed. It has to do with the fact, very practically, that David very well may have been facing death itself. He knew that it may be the case that the very end of his life was near. And therefore, as we all know, when you face that last enemy of death, or when you are surrounded by death, the effect of that is going to be an overwhelmed heart, the fruit of which, as believers, will be this: God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But it's more than that. It's not just the fact that the distress and the overwhelmed heart was due to potentially his imminent death. But you have to go deeper than that and see that the distress was especially on account of the fact of what was the cause of that death, potentially, and what would have been the effect of that death if his life were to be taken. The cause of it, likely when he wrote this psalm, would have been Absalom. It's one thing to have the enemies of the pagan nations come and attack Israel and attempt to take David's life. It's a whole other thing when it was his own son who not only rebelled against a father, but his own son who, by rebelling against David, the God-ordained king, was rebelling against God himself, and not just God himself, but the one of whom David was a type, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when David thinks about what he is facing, the distress, an overwhelmed heart is on account of the cause, which is his own son Absalom seeking to usurp his throne. But then also the effect. If it was the case that he would have been taken and that the kingdom would have been upended and now overtaken by Absalom and his men, David knew the promise of God, and the promise of God was that his kingdom would be established. The promise of God was that his Messiah would be sent, not through Absalom and his kingdom that he may establish, but through him and his other son who would come. And so thinking even bigger about the promise of God and the work of God as we read this, and knowing the significance, if that were to take place, his heart is overwhelmed in light of the circumstances that he is going through. When we read the words of the text, "When my heart is overwhelmed," yes, we start with David and see how the Word of God applied to him at the time of the psalm. But we go to us. And we see that as believers today, this is the Word of God for us. All of the Psalms are written for the child of God in the New Testament. This is not a word just for someone who may be on a run trying to hide and to be protected from the enemy. No, this is the Word of God spiritually for the child of God today in the church. It's a word for these two young ladies who confessed their faith tonight. And that is why I say, when we read those words in the text, "When my heart is overwhelmed," we understand exactly what they mean. There's all sorts of reasons for which we may have an overwhelmed heart. The one that immediately led to David being this way, death, certainly causes us to have an overwhelmed heart. And that's okay on a confession of faith to talk about death with a lot of young people here tonight. We need to think about death. We need to think about death in light of the confession that they made, a confession that makes us know as a congregation that these two young ladies will be able to face death. But if they were to hear next week that from a doctor your death is imminent because of a disease that you have, that would overwhelm the heart. You wouldn't be able to escape that. And so that's a source, certainly, of an overwhelmed heart. And that, by the way, is something for all of you young people to think about. Think about death. You can live without Christ, but you can't die without Christ. You need the rock of which the text speaks, and God to lead you to that rock, to be at peace and to be safe in the face of the enemy of death. In addition to that, there are all sorts of circumstances in our life that can lead to an overwhelmed heart, maybe not to the same degree as the reality of death, but we know those things in our life that stare us in the face and seem to wrap around our hearts so that we cannot escape them. Maybe it's the young adult who really desires in their life to be married and for God to bring to them a spouse, but is made clear But that's not the will of God for them. That can be overwhelming when one works through that. Maybe it's the young couple who desires to have children, but God in His good providence determines not to give them children. And at that time, working through that, that can be overwhelming. Maybe it's the young adult who doesn't know what to do in life, and therefore is always staring in the face that question of what's the path that I'm going to walk on, and it can feel like a crushing burden to determine what it is that God desires you to do in your life. Maybe it's the difficulty in relationships. Maybe the particular difficulty of knowing that one who is close to you is not walking as they are called to walk. Tonight is a time of joy, as I said in the comments before or right after the confession of faith, so that we can come together, and if you're friends of Katie and Lydia, you can be confident that they as young adults are confessing their faith and walking according to the truth. But what a burden that is when your other peers, maybe with whom you have gone to school with for years, are not desiring to confess their faith and are not walking as they are called to walk according to God's Word. That can be a burden that overwhelms the heart. All of that is true when we think about the overwhelmed heart. But understand that we need to see what is the heart and the source of it all, so that this Word of God is not just to a few individuals over here and over here who at a particular tough time have an overwhelmed heart, but the Word of God in Psalm 61 verse 2 is for every single one of us, because there is something that causes the heart to be overwhelmed. When we understand what it is, when we understand who it is against, and when we understand what it deserves, it's when the enemy of sin comes crashing before us and seeks to destroy us. If you understand sin, if you understand what it is, which is not just a mistake, as the world likes to say concerning sin, but that it is a sin against the perfect, righteous, holy, just God of heaven and earth. When you understand what it deserves, not just a small chastisement here on this earth, but because it is against that God, it deserves nothing less than eternal punishment. And when you understand that every single day you have a flesh and I have a flesh in which there is no good thing that leads us in the ways of sin, so that every single day we have to stare in the face the enemy of sin, that enemy that every single day seeks to destroy us, the fruit of that, when we understand what it is and what it deserves, is an overwhelmed heart. So that in the face of the distress caused on account of sin, which we hate when we are regenerated by the Spirit of Christ, we are led to cry out for deliverance. We are led to cry out to God, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And ultimately, all of what we face that causes the overwhelmed heart, death, struggles, all of that stuff traces itself back to sin. That's the source, because that's the enemy, ultimately, that seeks our destruction. David prayed in the face of that distress with an overwhelmed heart, as he was in the ends of the earth, he prayed to God. And he didn't just pray, he cried out to God. And the text is at pains to emphasize that in the opening two verses of the psalm. Three different words that we use that are found in the first two verses to describe the activity of praying and calling upon God. "Hear my cry," at the beginning of verse 1. "Attend unto my prayer," at the end of verse 1. And then at the beginning of verse 2, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And in the Hebrew, those are three different distinct words with three different and distinct ideas, all of which emphasizes that this is what David did at the time of his distress. Verse 1 says that he cried to God. That's a word that literally refers to a ringing sound. It's used in a positive sense to refer to the praise that we offer to God. That's the nature of our jubilant praise. It is a ringing sound that we offer to God, but that's the nature of our cries unto God too. A ringing, loud proclamation and supplication to God that we make. The second word is prayer. That's the word that especially emphasizes what the words are, which are a conscious entering into the presence of God to speak to Him and to cast one's burdens upon the God who hears. And then verse 2 speaks of crying unto thee. And the literal idea there is to utter a loud sound for help. If you're in Lake Michigan and you feel like you're not going to be able to keep swimming or make it to the pier or the shore, you don't just say, "Help, help." No, from there you would say, "Help, help," as loud as you can. That's the word that we use when we think about our cries to God. All of these words emphasize the activity that David engaged in. He didn't just weakly speak, but fervently, passionately, with a convicted heart, he cried out to God in his distress. And David did that even at the time in which he lived. David saw above the types in the shadows of the Old Testament. He understood the types, and the text makes that clear later in Psalm 61, talking about dwelling in the tabernacle, talking about being safe under the wings, possibly a reference to the wings of the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. He understood that typically God was in Jerusalem and in the tabernacle and in the Ark of the Covenant, but David saw above that. He knew the spiritual reality above that, so that even when he was away from where God was typically, he could still cry out from the ends of the earth, knowing that the spiritual God hears the prayers that we offer to Him. Beloved, this is what we do and must do in our times of distress and with overwhelmed hearts. The problem, as we know, is that we have a sinful flesh that always leads us to do something else. It's not our knee-jerk reaction to cry out unto God for help. Our knee-jerk reaction by our sinful flesh is to flee to something else. And for every one of us, it may be different. With the overwhelmed heart, what I'm going to do, our flesh says, is bury myself on the internet, searching aimlessly from page to page to page, hoping to find something that will ease the struggle of the overwhelmed heart. What I'm going to do is bury myself in front of the television or the iPad to find some movie that I can watch that will, for a time, make me feel better in light of the distress that I'm going to. What I'm going to do is go take my credit card and go to the mall, and I'm going to shop the pain and struggle away to try to make things better. What I'm going to do is find the video games and plop myself in front of the TV and play this for hours on end to make it go away. What I'm going to do is find the drink, find the party, so that I can get lost in pleasure for a few hours at night. And you can go on and on and on and think hard about what it is that you flee to and what I may flee to that is not the reaction of the psalmist, which is with an overwhelmed heart to cry out to God. Beloved, this is what we do. And may God work through the word brought tonight to lead us to do this, to cry out knowing that the triune God hears the prayers that we offer to Him, and that we, through that, are delivered from the overwhelmed heart that we have. David prayed, and now we see what is the content of that prayer. The content of the prayer is the well-known words, "Lead me," he says to God, "to the rock that is higher than I." It's a prayer for two things. It's a prayer for peace. He has an overwhelmed heart. He has no peace. It's a prayer to lead him to the rock so that there is peace. And the second thing that it's a prayer for is a prayer for protection and safety. Because if he is led to that rock, he knows that the enemies will not be able to find him and destroy him. When David wrote these words, it was likely the case that there was probably something very literal about what he was saying. As he was on the run from Absalom and his armies, it may have been the case, very literally, that he said, "God, lead me to a rock that is higher than me. Lead me to something that I can see, but that I can't get to right now, that if I'm there, I will have peace, and if I'm there, I will be protected from the enemies that seek to destroy me, either because they can't get there, or if I get there, I can hide so that they will not be able to find me." David knew from his own experiences that there is peace and there is protection in the rock or the cave. An example of that is what we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 15. "Now 3 of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephidim." They were in a rock, a cave, in which there is safety. So it may have been the case that there was something very literal about what David says here, with a rock that was higher than he was that he could not get to. But even for David, undoubtedly, there was a spiritual significance to what he prays here. And that is due simply from the fact that David, by his own words and by other words of Scripture with which he would have been familiar, knew that God, in the end, was the rock. David would have known the words of Psalm 78, verse 35, regarding the children of Israel who forgot that God was their rock. We read in verse 35 of Psalm 78, "And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer." Positive, not negative, as I said. It's a positive. They remembered that God was their rock. But my point with that is, in the wilderness, the children of Israel knew that God was their rock. He's always been the rock to His people. And then in the next psalm even, and there are references to God as the rock all throughout the psalms, but in the next psalm, Psalm 62, David says this same thing. Verses 6 and 7, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." So even though there was possibly a literal idea of going to a rock, David knew that in the end what he needed to be led to for his peace, for his safety, was not first and foremost an actual cave or rock, but he needed to be led to God Himself. He needed to know that God was his God. He needed to know that God's eyes were upon him. He needed to know and experience that he was the apple of God's eye, and therefore that no matter what happened to David, all was well because he was with and he knew his God. The Word of God to us tonight is that when we make this prayer, we are praying, God, lead me to Thyself who is the rock, as Thou dost reveal Thyself in, and as Thou dost save us through the One who is also the rock, Jesus Christ. In whom do we have peace, people of God? With whom is there safety, beloved? The answer to that is only one. It's God our Father in Jesus Christ. With an overwhelmed heart, the one that we cry out to is God, and the prayer that we make is, God, lead me to Jesus Christ, who is the rock, who is higher than I. And the reason for that is that in the end, Christ alone is the one in whom we have safety and protection and deliverance. What is the source of that overwhelmed heart? As I said in the first point, in the end, it is our sin. When that sin comes bearing down upon us every single day, when we understand what it is in light of who God is as the righteous God and just God of heaven and earth, the prayer is, God, lead me to Christ, because I know in Christ alone there is safety, there is protection, there is deliverance from the enemy of sin. If I stand exposed, as David was at that time, exposed to the enemy of sin, if I'm not in the protection of Christ, the end for me is death, and the end for me is destruction. In Him alone, there is deliverance from the enemy of sin, because Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, paid for our sins entirely through His precious death on Calvary's cross. And that was their confession tonight. And that's our confession tonight. As those who are saved by God, we know that in Christ alone we have deliverance. Being justified by faith in Christ, we have peace with God. We have deliverance from sin. And so we say, in the face of our sin and the enemy that seeks our destruction, God, lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ, who is higher than I. That is, God, lead me to Him so that I am more and more united to Him, so that I more and more know Him, so that I consciously, as I am led to Him all my life long, receive the benefits and blessings of salvation that are in Him alone. That's the heart of it. Beloved, we need Christ and we need to be led to Him. And understand, for everything else, the exact same thing is true. God, lead me to Christ. In the face of death, lead me to Christ, because I know that this Christ not only died, but this Christ arose so that there is victory over death. And so that death is no longer a judgment that leads to hell, but a passageway that leads to heaven. But even beyond that, for every source of an overwhelmed heart, what you need and what I need is the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him, to fellowship with Him, and to receive consciously the blessings that are in Him alone. Don't ever forget that. We live in a day of specialization. There's a specialty for everything. You don't have just one doctor, but you have three or four doctors. One doctor to deal with this, another doctor to deal with that, another doctor to deal with that, and that's okay. And even in the realm of our spiritual lives, there are specialties. There are things that need special care and a special word and special help. And that's okay. We need that at times. But in the midst of that, never forget this. That standing at the foundation, what you need to hear before anything else, and what will help you fundamentally for everything else, is Jesus. And to know Him and to walk with Him and to receive the heart of the blessings of salvation, the consciousness that I am a sinner but saved by His precious work. It doesn't matter what it is. Before anything else, that is what you need. And this is the prayer: lead me to Jesus Christ. Struggling because you wonder if the Lord is going to lead you a spouse, who you need is Christ. To know that you have the greatest thing that could be ever given, more important than a spouse that God may give you, you have the forgiveness of sins and life with God. Struggling with an overwhelmed heart because it is the Lord's will at this time that you don't have children or not any more children, lead me to Christ, because in Christ I have my fulfillment in all things, and therefore I don't need and can be content with the way that God has led me. Overwhelmed because of the struggling relationships that you may experience, lead me to Christ. Because I need to know, as I walk with others in the world or my friends who may walk wayward, that I have been delivered. And therefore, I walk out of thanks, I walk out of boldness, I walk out of obedience, I walk with a spirit of humility as I seek to help those around me. Everything flows from Jesus Christ and the knowledge that in Him alone I have the forgiveness of my sins. This is our prayer, no matter what our overwhelmed heart is. It is a rock to which we are led by God. A rock, solid, foundation, strength, unmovable. The prayer is not lead me to the straw house with a little bit of wind that can be blown down. The prayer is lead me to the rock. And that's the blessing of your confession tonight, Lydia and Katie, and the blessing of everyone who confesses their faith in Jesus Christ. In a world with shakiness, of change, of wondering what's going to happen, there is one thing that is solid. There is one thing as sure. There is one thing that is unmovable, and that is the truth, which is objective, concrete, and eternal. And that's Christ. It's a rock, because God in eternity, according to election, chose us so that it's unmovable. It's a rock because Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." It's a rock because He gives us the promise, "I am your Savior today, yesterday, and forever," because He is the unchangeable Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock, the sure foundation upon which we place our faith and in whom we have our life. David says, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. It's the acknowledgement that it is only God who can lead him to Him. This is not to say that David did not know God, that he was not with God, that he did not have life with God and receive the blessings of God, so that he says, lead me to something that I don't have right now and that I need to get to. That's not the idea. And that's not the idea for us as well. We make this prayer as those who know God and who are saved by Jesus Christ. But the fact is that on account of our sin, which is daily, on account of our minds, which continually wander, we have to continually say the words of the text, lead me to Christ. And that's the acknowledgement that this is entirely the work of God. He alone initially saves us and brings us to Himself. And all our life long, it is God who unites us and brings us closer and closer to to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when David says, lead me to that rock, that's the acknowledgement and confession of that. We don't say tonight, what do I need to do? What we say tonight is, God, work. Work powerfully to lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And He does. By His grace, He delivers us. He did for David. The rest of the psalm, verses 3 and following, indicate that He is His shelter, His strong tower. He will abide in the tabernacle forever. He trusts in the covert of the wings. He heard His vows. He's given Him a heritage, a possession of all those that fear His name. He prolonged His life, and He abides with God forever. David's prayer was heard. He was delivered by God. He was led to God Himself. He was led to the rock Himself, possibly literally, so that he was saved, but certainly spiritually, and that's what the rest of the text talks about. In the end, he was delivered because he was given, as the text later says, the possession. He was given the ultimate reality of Canaan, his life with God in heaven. And beloved, when we make this prayer and cry out to God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, confessing that it is God's work, we do so with the confidence that He does deliver us. He does give us safety. He does work peace in our hearts. It's God's work. He does it through means. He leads and guides through certain means. The prayer itself, as we continually, our lifelong, cry out to God, is one of the things He uses to give us peace, to give us safety, for a time to give us relief from the overwhelmed heart. He uses His Word, a Word that on every single page shows to us the Christ, a Word through which His Spirit works so that we see Christ and believe that Christ that is found in His Word. And He gives us the preaching of the Gospel so that from week to week we are led through the preaching and by that Spirit to Jesus Christ, to see Him, to more and more be united to Him, and to receive in the preaching of the Gospel the blessings of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so that's the word to the two of you and to all of us. Cry out to Him. Be faithful in His Word. Sit under the preaching of the Gospel. And know that in those ways, as we persist in the means God uses, God is at work powerfully to lead us day by day to Jesus Christ. So that in that way, we do find what David was crying for in the text. We do find safety and deliverance from the enemy. As we cry out to God and as God works, He does work peace so that as we stand before our sin and as we stand with the devil who tempts us, saying, there's no way on account of that sin that you are a child of God, God works so that we say, I am. I believe I am because I have been led to Christ, who is my perfect Savior. And as we cry out to Him, and as He works through His Word, and as we sit under the voice of Jesus, in addition to giving us safety and protection, He gives us peace. For we know that when we have Jesus, we have all things. When we know we have Christ, we know that we will receive the possession of which the text speaks later, so that no matter what our earthly circumstance is, whether my life is actually taken, I have life with this God because of this Christ and His work. When we hear, beloved, those words, and as we ponder this truth of who God is and what He does for us, and particularly as you do tonight, May verse 8 resonate in our hearts, and may we walk away doing what verse 8 says. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let us sing. Let us sing praises to God, and let us daily perform our vows. Let us be faithful to the vow that you made, to walk in obedience and in thanks, united by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God so do that for the two of you, and may God so work through His Word tonight, so that in the face of our overwhelmed hearts, we cry out to God, lead us to the rock, Jesus Christ, who is higher than us. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray again, work powerfully through thy word. Help us to see thee as that rock and Jesus Christ, in whom there is safety, in whom there is peace. And may we believe that thou art a God who hears our prayers when we cry out to thee. And work in us, we pray, strong faith, so that we look to Jesus Christ for all things. And we receive, in doing that, the blessings of salvation, the heart of which is our forgiveness through Jesus Christ alone. Assure us that our sins are forgiven, and help us to see all things through the cross, and go through all things in light of our deliverance from our sin in Jesus. Dismiss us now with thy blessing tonight, and care for us in this week to come. For Jesus' sake, amen.